Good afternoon, Bay Area. Welcome to the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden, where every week we tap into the Bay Area art scene and bring you rich conversations with artists. On today's show, what it takes to put on a big music festival like Outside Lands, then a local DJ who throws R&B parties, and a documentary about the late blues folk jazz singer Barbara Dane. Today's show is about going behind the scene of Bay Area music. That's all coming up. But first, a word from my KALW colleagues, John Carroll and Damian D. Minor, on our special one-day membership drive. Take it away, guys.
Thanks so much, Janae. We appreciate that. We're looking forward to all the everything that you're covering in this coming hour. But before we do, we are asking for one very special thing. We're asking for you to take a moment and make a gift to KLW right now. Don't wait. Don't delay. This is the opportunity. If you've been listening for a while and have never made a gift, if you just started listening and are thinking, wow, this is a great station, I might want to continue listening, we're asking you, we're inviting you. Not really pleading, but we are pleading, because it's like we want you to become
member.
We want you to become a member of this station.
We knocking
right
on
now.
The door.
1-800-525-9917 is the number you can call. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go online to KALW.org and click donate to make a gift of support and help us meet this challenge right now with this loss of CPB funding, because that amounts to about a $400,000 hit that our budget is going to take this year. And we need our community to help us weather this storm. Public media is under attack. We can take a lot of the blows that are coming our way, but we need a little extra padding, and that's what we're asking you to do. Give us a little bit of padding right now. 1-800-525-9917, or go online to KALW.org and click donate.
That's right, John. I mean, that funding from corporate public broadcasting.
I can't even say it either.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. So, you know, and again, it's just, you know, unfortunately, it's going away for some time. But we are asking you just to step up. Corporate public radio, public broadcasting, unfortunately, it's going away at this time. So, but we're asking you, KLW community, to step up and show that you are appreciating programs like Sights and Sounds, which we'll be going into in a couple of ticks, your legal rights. All of this is right here at KALW being produced, and it's all because of you. 800-525-9917. And again, we appreciate you for deepening the connection that you have for this public radio station that's been around for 80-plus years.
And we know we've been coming to you a lot and asking a lot of everyone right now. We wouldn't do this unless it were absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is an urgent time. These are unprecedented challenges that we're facing. Public media, as I said, is under attack in lots of different ways, not only from a funding perspective, but against the stories that we report on, all of those kinds of things. We need you as our community to support and rally around us and stand with us right now. Stand with public media. Be like John Powers in San Rafael or Allison Polkinghorne from Portola Valley. I'm sorry, Allison, if I murdered your name. Gerald Moore in San Francisco.
Hi, Gerald.
Or Edmund Hennert from Napa, who says, "I'm investing because the truth will not be silenced." Thank you so much, Edmund. We appreciate that gift. We appreciate everyone. Join the KLW family. Help support us. 1-800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. Summer is one of my favorite times of the year. I mean, it's also around the time I was born, but I love also too to sit outside and listen to good music. And there's another big music festival coming up this weekend, Outside Lands, and you can catch that this Friday, August 8th through Sunday, August 10th at San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. Big headliners include such artists as Dolce and Beck. Now, while all eyes will be on the stage, it takes a lot of work by people behind the scenes to make these festivals happen. Eric Barlene is the Senior Vice President of Concerts for the promoter Another Planet Entertainment, or APE. And Eric Barlene grew up in Lafayette. We talked about what goes into producing such a big music event like Outside Lands. Eric Barlene, welcome.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
You know, I'm excited for you to be here too, because it's not too often that we talk to people who work behind the scenes of some venues that, you know, in the Bay that we go to regularly and like to party and dance and listen to music, like the Fox Theater, like the Greek Theater, UC Berkeley, Bill Graham Civic Auditorium. You work, you know, on all those venues through your role at Another Planet Entertainment. How did you get into the music business, this part of the music business, behind the scenes?
I grew up in the Bay Area, and in high, you know, middle school, high school, just loved going to concerts. Friends and I were always at the Great American, the Fillmore, the Warfield. And when I went to college, I had the opportunity to intern with a production company in a few venues in Tucson. I went to the University of Arizona. And while I was there, I also subsequently got introduced to our CEO at Another Planet, Greg Perloff. And it was really that kind of chance meeting that flipped my world, and, you know, realizing there was this kind of wizard behind the curtain and somebody who was responsible for how much fun I had and was having at concerts. It can kind of completely flipped me around. And I had the opportunity to intern with Another Planet and went back to school and changed my major to a kind of arts management and music business side of things, and just dove in head first and realized that, again, if I could be responsible for the fun, safety, enjoyment that people have at concerts, that's what I wanted to do.
What was your major before you changed?
I was a undeclared sophomore at the time. So just floating around, waiting for something to come out of the ether.
Yeah, and nothing's wrong with that. I mean, because you're a sophomore, you're young, you're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
So you were real passionate about music. Like, who were some of your favorite artists when you were growing up?
It kind of changed me. There's always music going on in my house, and I through friends, you know, we were in little bands and fiddled around. And kind of early in high school, we all got into the Grateful Dead and Phish. And I think that world, you know, between their influences and covers at the time, just opened us all up to so much music from the 60s, 70s, 80s. And it kind of, you know, took off from there.
When you first started promoting, working in promoting, what were some things that you wanted to change or implement as someone who goes to concerts a lot?
That's a great question. I mean, I feel like I was just so wrapped up in being a part of it and understanding how the conversations worked, you know, just how big, even when they talk about the music industry, how many jobs kind of really circled around the artist. And just on our side, on the live side, you have people dealing with ticketing, marketing, production, sound lights, operations, you know, hospitality. At the time, I had no idea that there were so many individuals involved in putting on a show, you know, from something at the independent scale to arenas and stadiums and certainly something like Outside Lands. So I think I was just so eager to learn that I wasn't necessarily diving in trying to change the system that seemed to be in place for such a long time.
So you're from the Bay, specifically Lafayette. What makes the Bay Area music scene special to you?
I think it really starts with the history of music in the Bay Area, you know, kind of starting with the 60s and everything that happened in the Haight-Ashbury and a lot of the artists that came out of there, and kind of the openness within that music. You know, a lot of the acts that traveled to Monterey Pop in 67 and kind of took off from there. And I think as I was growing up, it just felt like, and this was in the late 90s, it kind of felt like a bit of a melting pot. And granted, I was in high school and looking back, didn't know a ton, but we just felt like we were so open-minded to new things and to new artists that we were trying to see whatever we could and go into the city as often as we could. The Bay Area as a whole has just been kind of embraced that openness and excitement. And I feel like that's what, from day one at Outside Lands in 2008, we tried to embrace, was this cross-genre melting pot of different artists and different styles. And I think it was just very unique to the Bay Area as a whole. Like, you know, when you think about different age groups and past events and past free events, like Hardly Strictly Bluegrass, like it felt like the community, old and young, was coming out. That was something that I felt growing up here. And it's certainly something that we've tried to continue to embrace at Outside Lands.
And, you know, you talk about how different generations can experience and enjoy Outside Lands. Because when I was looking at the lineup, I'm seeing Ludacris. That's more my generation. Right. I'm Gen X. And then I see Doja Cat.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And that's more, you know, current. And I like both. And so, yeah, I was really excited about the lineup. So Tyler, the Creator, Doja Cat, Hozier, Anderson .Paak, Ludacris, Thundercat, Beck. I was like, what? Big Freed? I love Big Freed. Okay, so that was I love Big Freed. So it's just such a good mix of artists. Who are you excited to see on stage, Eric? I know you love all of them because you work for Ape.
Yeah, I think that was something I learned really early on, that within the different venues that I've booked, you can't just book what you like. You've got to be open-minded. You've got to understand what people are into, what is worth tickets, what people are excited about, and keep open with it. And I think that's what we do at Outside Lands. But some of the stuff I'm personally excited for, Beck with the Berklee Symphony. We had him at the Greek Theater last summer, I think, and I presume you guys were probably helped out in some promotion for that show. But it was such an incredible night, and I'm excited to see him on Sutro stage, which I just love the atmosphere down in the bowl there. Jamie XX is one of my favorite dance acts, so I'm excited to see that. You know, there's some smaller up-and-coming acts. There's this act out of Argentina called Cot Real and Paco Amoroso, like a trap hip-hop type artist who's really exploding. Oh, who else? Floating Points is, electronic dance producer. But there's just countless acts that I'm excited for.
I want to go back to Beck. I'm excited. So he's going to be performing with the Berklee Symphony.
With the Berklee Symphony, yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, like I mentioned, he did this at the Greek last summer, and it was such a unique selection of songs from all of his albums. You know, I kind of thought maybe he'd lean more into Sea Change or Morning Phase. It was really amazing to see him pluck songs from his whole career and whole catalog and rework them a bit with the symphony. It was beautiful.
And Big Freeda is going to be performing with the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus?
Correct.
Okay. And I know Big Freeda, she's going to do her bounce, her New Orleans bounce.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, too, I know she's been doing some gospel music. So I was excited to see these major artists working with local artists here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's going to be great. And we're hoping and working with the San Francisco Gay Men's Choir for some other activations. You know, a couple of years ago, we launched this area within the festival called Dolores's. And it's a kind of queer dance space that leans into the LGBTQ community and works with like a lot of local promoters in that space. We've had some really fun performances and brought out different acts in the past. So we've got our fingers crossed that something with Big Freeda or, you know, the San Francisco Men's Choir or several other artists on the festival kind of works out for a magic moment there.
If you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Mr. Eric Barlean. He's Senior Vice President of Concerts for Another Planet Entertainment and one of the producers of Outside Lands. And the music festival is happening in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco from August 8th to the 10th. Okay, so Eric, I have never been I know. No judgment here.
You're coming this year, right?
You know, you have Big Freed on there, so I'm very tempted.
Okay,
so this year, I understand, marks the return of the Soma stage, and you all be playing house and techno music. So what is that setup like, and what goes on there?
Basically, the Soma stage, as you mentioned, is something that we introduced a few years ago. It started off indoors in kind of a tent build-out where we tried to create a down and dirty club. And we quickly realized the excitement and popularity of it wasn't going to be able to contained in those four walls. So last year we put it outside in the original meadow that I was in, but it was an outdoor stage. It had a 360 stage that fans could, you know, kind of engulf the artist. And we're taking that to kind of the next level this year in terms of production with sound, lights, etc. But it really leans into the dance community, which is extremely popular here in the Bay Area. We've got local headliner Claude Von Stroke one of the nights. You know, Black Coffee is such a big name that we've been working on for years to be on the festival. So he's closing the stage on Sunday night, which is someone we're extremely excited to finally have at Outside Lands.
How many artists are performing during the entire festival?
About 140 acts over 8 stages.
I imagine you all are working years in advance to put this together.
Yeah, on the artist programming side, I mean, we're discussing and have offers in for 2026 at this point. From a operational side, it's a year-round conversation, both with Rec and Park, as well as you know, our vendors and city folks within the city, the community, etc. It's just a complete labor of love at this point, and it's a year-round expedition.
We're gonna wrap up, but I want to know, what do you like most about the work that you do? What do you like most about your job?
I really love the fact that, you know, we're having conversations for something a year away. And this isn't just with Outside Lands, but my job works in two parts. It's working, you know, 9 months to a year from now on trying to book acts at venues and work with their touring schedule. And, you know, for Outside Lands, why does 2025 make sense versus 2024, 2026 with an act? But you're having these conversations, like I mentioned, 9 months to a year in advance. And then, you know, flash forward to August of this year, you get to see a lot of the fruits of your labor and conversations that you've been working on and having for a year come true. And, you know, to stand there and at Sutro stage with 20,000 people witnessing your hard work and see all that kind of given back to everybody is pretty magical.
And last question for a young person who's listening, and they may want to go into the field that you're in. Any advice?
I don't say no to anything. I think, you know, there's so many different jobs and avenues within the music industry, and, you know, keeping your opportunities open and trying bits and pieces, whether it be in promotion or boots on the ground, you know, production. I think there's just a lot that you can do, and the more versed you are in understanding how the whole system works together, because it is so interconnected, I think the stronger producer and promoter you'll be.
All right. Eric Barlean, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Eric Barlean, Senior Vice President of Concerts for Another Planet Entertainment. Outside Lands kicks off this Friday at Golden Gate Park in San Francisco and runs until Sunday, August 10th. Coming up, a DJ who loves, loves, loves R&B music and how he's bringing that vibe to the Chase Center every week this summer. But first, my KALW colleagues, John Carroll and Damian DeepMiner, have a few words for you about our one-day membership drive.
Thank you, Janae. Yes, we are inside of Sights and Sounds here on KALW at 91.7 FM, asking for your support at 800-525-9917 or at kalw.org. This is the one day that we're going to do. This is a one-off, right, John?
It is. It's a special fundraising drive. It's a one-day drive. It's a targeted effort to help keep your favorite KALW program strong. We know we've been asking a lot of everyone lately, but that's because the situation is real and it is urgent. So the recent funding cuts are already changing the landscape here for public media. They threaten the very core of what we do here, local reporting, arts coverage, like you're hearing on Sights and Sounds, the music that you love. Many, many people within the community of the Bay Area have stepped up and made their gift right now. Today, We're asking you to join them as well. If you've never made a gift to KLW, this is the perfect opportunity. It is the only opportunity. It is the real and urgent opportunity. Right now, call us at 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or go online to kalw.org and click donate. We want to thank Jasmine McCormick from Antioch, who did just that. Martha Higdon from Alameda. And Yasmin Mogul, who... from San Rafael, who did that. It said it's the only intelligent news and programming. So thank you so much for that comment, Yasmin. We love that. Yeah. We appreciate your comments. We appreciate your love. We appreciate your donation. Become a part of the family. Become a part of the KLW donors. Do it right now. 1-800-525-9917 or online at klw.org.
Yeah, less than 2 minutes to talk to you about what we do here at KLW, especially inside of Sights and Sounds, when you have folks from the Magic Theater that are coming on to talk to you about what's happening in the Bay Area, or from the Frayed, the Chase. We have a DJ that Janae is going to be dialoguing with in a couple of takes. And so, you know, this program, this content is only made possible by you. 800-525-9917. If you want to continue to put the arts in front, especially at a time when it's hard and heavy, we need that. So we definitely need you to step up and head on over to KLW.org and step up for KLW. That's that button that's right there waiting for you. So continue to support local public radio that serves all 9 counties of this place we call the Bay Area.
And your gift today directly supports the voices and stories that only KLW brings you. Deep local reporting, arts and cultural coverage like you're hearing right now, and music shows that you can't find anywhere else. So take this opportunity, become a part of the KLW family, and make that gift of support. 1-800-525-9917 or go online to kalw.org and click donate. And thank you.
Once again, 1-800-525-9917 or at kalw.org. We thank you so very much as we now go back to Sights and Sounds with Janae Darden.
You're listening to the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darden. The Chase Center has been a major hotspot this summer, and that's thanks in part to the Valkyries. But there's been a weekly party happening outside of the arena, and it's called Thrive at 5. People can eat, drink, shop around, and of course, enjoy some good live music. DJs play a variety of genres from R&B to EDM to some Latin beats. And the Bay Area's very own Anthony Midas is one of the DJs on the event's lineup. Thrive at 5 happens every Thursday until August 28th, and DJ Anthony is here to talk with me more about Thrive at 5. It rhymes. And we're going to talk about some R&B, some music, some other good stuff. Hey, Anthony, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Janae. How are you?
I'm good. You know what? You like R&B. When I heard you like R&B, I said, we got to talk.
I love it. I grew up listening to that when I was just even a kid in the car. My mom would listen to the radio, and it'd always be a lot of 90s R&B playing in our household. So that really came with me throughout my life.
You know, your mom has good taste, because I grew up on 90s R&B. So how long have you been a DJ?
Yeah, I've been a DJ since college, so it's been about 12 years now. February marks exactly 12 years.
So okay, 12 years, so a little over a decade. And this is a career you can do for years and years and years, because I'm thinking of some of the DJ. I'm like, how old is Kid Capri, you know, and D Nice, right? You could do this for a long time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think one great DJ told me that it's one of the careers where you only get better as you get older. And luckily, not too harsh on the body. So, yeah, as long as I, you know, stay healthy, I could really keep this going.
Yeah, yeah. And we need to party right now, definitely. So the music is so important right now. So you mentioned that, you know, your mom used to play 90s R&B while you were in the car. Do you remember a record or artist that really sparked your love for R&B?
I think two come to mind. Janet Jackson was played heavily mm-hmm. in our household, and she loved Janet Jackson, and you know, she would always be playing a lot of records, again, either whether it was on the radio or just in our house. And I think another one that really comes to mind too is Jodeci. And at the time, I didn't really know who Jodeci was as a group. I just mostly knew the songs. And it wasn't until I was like in middle school when I heard Casey and JoJo and finally learned that, you know, that was Jodeci. And just all of that together just accumulated to what I've listened to growing up. So
Yeah. So, okay, so you're younger than me. And like I said, I grew up on R&B. So 90s R&B, for me, that's like high school and college. Do a lot of people your age are still listening to like old school R&B? I can't believe I'm saying that's old school. I remember.
Trust me, because growing up back then, the 2000s music to me was that's what I still consider the music that's near and dear to me. And I think that it's throwbacks, but my niece now calls that old school. So it's definitely perception to generation for sure of what that's going to be. But, you know, yeah, I really think like myself, I listen to a lot of like R&B. And again, I'll call it throwback. 90s, again, is near and dear to me only because my mother, she's young. She's like, 50, and she had me when she was, 18. So I had the luxury of having a young mother showing me all this great mm-hmm. music. And I think nowadays there's definitely an ear for it. A lot of people do enjoy 90s, whether they call that throwback, whether they call that old school, whatever it may be. But I think the coolest thing is that I've seen a lot of younger people even appreciate music that was even beyond when they were born. So, for example, my niece I was telling you about that mm-hmm. calls my throwback old school. She is in love with Keisha Cole.
Keisha Cole,
like, she was not even born at that time. I think she was born in, 2008 or 9, and for her to like sing Love lyric by lyric and ask me if I can get her a Keisha Cole record for her birthday, I think it's pretty cool to hear that.
Okay, well, I'm gonna start calling it throwback because I'm thinking old school. That's like, I know my mom's listening. That's Earth, Wind, and Fire and the Isley Brothers. Okay, so I'm throwback, but I know eventually your niece is, gonna call it old.
At some point, yeah.
I embrace it. Okay, so before we talk about Thrive at Five at the Chase Center, I want to talk to you about your R&B parties called Cozy. And you host these parties around the country. You've hosted them in other countries. Where did the name and idea come from?
Cozy is so funny. It was between a really good DJ friend of mine and I, and it was just one of those late night conversations where you just finished a show, you're at the club, you're just getting late night food. And I was telling him how I always wanted to do something different. I had experienced a lot of growth on social media, and a lot of it was heavily around throwback R&B and hip hop. And I told him that I really wanted to do something that would fit the vibe. And we were just kind of really throwing names out there. It was late at night, so we're just really, I feel like, delusional at some point because we really needed to be sleeping, but we're talking about music. And I was like, when you listen to R&B, I feel like it gives you some sort of like comfort, something kind of cozy. And then from there, he's like, no, cozy's great. You know what we should do? We should give blankets out at the clubs and, make the pillows at the bottle service. We just started like going things back and forth. But in reality, I said cozy really does seem like a very fitting name for a party that's heavily around like R&B, people singing, people really just having a good time, mainly because I think cozy makes people again feel at home, feel comfortable. Yeah. And that's really what we strive to do at our event. So it felt perfect. It went well, and I really think it is something that really is not only catchy, but it really talks about what the party is just from the name.
So, and is it strictly R&B that you're playing?
I would say that it's centered around R&B, but again, it celebrates all music. I think throwback hip hop is definitely another genre we'll play. And it also celebrates new R&B too. So a lot of people hear throwback, and that's definitely what we're centered around. But we also like to celebrate new music as well, because a lot of these artists are doing some great things too.
Especially too, when you look at 90s R&B and R&B today, so much of it is infused with hip hop. So it's like, it's not just kind of, again, going back to like, the old school of, like really like slow dance music, right? Like a lot of it is up tempo, so you can really get your dance on as well as chill. I'm guessing that's kind of the vibe at Cozy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. It switches it up. Sometimes you want to sing and dance and just hang out a little bit. Sometimes you want to actually dance and get up. And I think that's the beauty of it, is you can experience both and still have a good time.
Okay. And so are you bringing this cozy party vibe to Thrive at Five? Because I'm here at Thrive at Five. I'm here in Cozy. And I'm thinking like, this is when I get off of work. Let me get my drink, sit in a nice spot. Hopefully the sun's out. Have my feet kicked up. Teach Perferio some new artists, because Perferio is much our producer, Sites of Sound producer. He's much younger than me. So, tell us what kind of vibe you bring in to Thrive at Five.
Yeah, Thrive at Five is something really cool that we started this summer, happening on various Thursdays. And what it is we're bringing some of the best Bay Area DJs coming out there. And while it is in a collaboration with my event company, Cozy, and it is around R&B and throwbacks, it's really just something fun and family friendly, because that's what really makes it unique about having this on a Thursday. It's open to all ages. You could even bring your pets. So everyone's really welcome to have a good time. So while it is heavily centered around R&B and throwbacks, really like to play a lot of, you know, not only what any throwback connoisseurs enjoy, but even with some of the newer, you know, the newer songs that some of the kids would like to hear too. And it's a blast. It's a really something fun to do to switch up the summer. And I think the coolest thing about it is some of the great vendors that we have over there. You know, some of my personal favorites is Senor Sisig, me being Filipino.
All right.
You know, food. I think it's so cool to grab a burrito, step outside, and just hear, you know, Tevin Campbell, Can We Talk, playing.
Hey.
Warm, sunny San Francisco day.
Okay, Filipino food, warm, sunny day. I got a good drink. Some music is playing. And like you said, it's family friendly. So that sounds good. What a great idea to do, you know, for the summer, just to use that outdoor space at the Chase. And so it's free. People don't have to pay, right, to get in?
Yeah, no, it's completely free. Encourage everybody. I think we just love to have RSVPs just to, you know, see who's coming and how we can prep for it. But otherwise, it's completely free for everybody in San Francisco and even outside the Bay Area just to come and check out again to switch up their summer times and have something fun to do outside Chase.
Okay, so we are going to give the listeners out there a little sample of how you do on the ones and twos. When you're getting the party started. So let's hear a mix of some of your mixes. All right, we just had a little party up in here. DJ Anthony Bodies bobbing his head. Our Sites and Sounds producer Porfirio moving his head. Demi D Minor. I'm not gonna tell you what I was doing. My mother knows. I was working it. I love to dance. So in that mix, you heard SWV's Right Here, Soul for Real, Candy Rain, Mariah Carey's Honey, TLC Creep, Next Too Close, and Mark Morrison's Return of the Mac. I'm going to tell y'all, that sounded like my car back in college. That sounded just like me driving to school back in college. That's what my car sounded like. Thank you so much for that. That put a smile on our face and got our hips moving, Anthony.
I love it. Honestly, I actually haven't heard that one in a little bit, but man, to see the growth of that too, I think that's the cool thing about, you know, how Cozy started again is a lot of people really appreciated that. They don't hear that too much on the radio. They don't hear that too much when they're going out.
No.
So it's all bringing it back, you know, bringing that to the mainstream and having everybody have a good time.
Yeah, we did. We had a little party in here and that put a smile on our face. If you're just tuning in, I'm chatting with DJ Anthony Midas. He's performing at Thrive at 5 at the Chase Center in San Francisco. And the event is every Thursday until August 28th. So tomorrow, Thursday, you can go check him out. Out of all the music genres, why R&B? What was it about R&B? Like, did you feel the love? Was that what it was? Or
yeah, it really is a good feeling. So a little background about myself. I actually started playing house music, and I was playing EDM music. And I think me being an attendee is I used to watch all these DJs, you know, play these large events and have people singing. And I didn't really feel like there was too much of that going on with the R&B scene. For me, R&B really brings me, you know, it feels like it's nostalgia to T. It brings me back to a time. I know the lyrics very well. If I hear it, I sing it out loud. And for me, I wanted to bring that to the masses. I wanted everyone to come out and really get to sing their heart out and not feel like, you know, back when I was in school and I'm just singing on my headphones in high school, you know, just by myself, you know, singing Usher, you don't have to call. But again, I wanted it to have, so, you know, something for everyone to listen to. And I felt like R&B connects a lot of people. Again, my growth on social media really showed me, a lot of my followers were saying they don't hear this enough. They want something to play this a lot more, especially in a lot of their cities. And that's why, you know, I chose ultimately to not only play R&B as a DJ, but just to bring that to the light of a party. It gives the people an opportunity to get with others that enjoy the music, sing along, just vibe out, because there's nothing than having hundreds of people, you know, singing Candy Rain, singing Return of the Mac, all to the top of their lungs. It's one of my favorite feelings as a DJ, and I just want everyone to experience that. And I feel like you really get that with R&B music.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's what we were doing just now in the studio. You know, there's so many great R&B artists that come out of the Bay, and I feel like we don't talk enough about some of the great R&B artists that come out the Bay. So who are some of your favorites?
I'd say for sure Keisha Cole stands out to me as like one of my favorite artists to come out of the Bay Area. Kehlani also is she's just been doing it for such a long time, especially as of recently. I think it's always good to give your flowers to, you know, artists that are doing it, especially currently. And I really think Guapalé too. You can't leave out Guapalé when you're really talking about some great R&B music coming out of the Bay Area. So I think those are definitely my top ones when I think of Bay Area music, especially R&B. And again, both new and old.
A lot of people talk about Jay Hancock.
Oh, okay. I actually don't think I'm too familiar.
Oh, you gotta get familiar with her. She's on Death Row. She's from on Death Row Records, and definitely kind of bring it back to that old school, I would say in between old school throwback vibe. But definitely, folks, I definitely recommend you all check her out. She reminds me of when Jill Scott came out, just how people were like, who is this? And it just blew up. And she wrote for, and I can't remember, but she's written a lot of songs for a lot of artists, and she's from the Bay. So definitely I advise people to check her out. I'm thinking of Tony. The Pointer Sisters, we were talking about the Pointer Sisters earlier. There's so many. I made a list. Tower of Power, Frankie Beverly and Maze, Ledisi. I had Keisha Cole and Kehlani. In Vogue, her. I love some indie artists like Martin Luther McCoy and Fur. So those were just some of the people I just wanted to name. And forgive me if I forgot anybody. Last question. We have about 30 seconds. How do you feel Bay Area artists have contributed to R&B music?
I feel like they contributed a lot, because as much as the Bay Area is such a prominent culture for music and for anything, I feel like the sound isn't always recognized as being a Bay Area sound. And I think people don't even realize that it's coming from the Bay Area until they do some research. So I definitely think it's a heavily influenced. I think that a lot of the artists you even named, myself and even some people included, people don't realize the impact that they've really had throughout the time. So I really think the Bay Area is a special place. Like you said, there's some people we probably forgot, but that just shows how much talent we really have here and how much they really contribute to R&B and the sound that we're listening to.
DJ Anthony Midas, I had so much fun with you, and I'm so happy you came on. Thank you for bringing us the joy, and I know you're going to bring the joy tomorrow at Thrive at 5. So take care. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, and I hope to see y'all there at Thrive at 5 tomorrow and every Thursday till the end of the month. I appreciate you, Janae. Thank you for having me on.
Catch DJ Anthony Midas spinning at Thrive at 5 at the Chase Center in San Francisco, and he performs every Thursday, including tomorrow, until August 28th. And next up, a documentary about a Bay Area music legend. But I'm going to toss it to my KLW colleagues, John Carroll and Damian D. Minor, who have a special brief message for you about supporting our station.
Yes, indeed. And this is our one-day fun drive that we're having here at KLW. And, you know, John, as Janae was talking about music, and, you know, it's interesting how there's so many artists, there's a plethora of artists who are here that sometimes you kind of forget that they're here. And, you know, I think about it, too, and a lot of the sounds that became famous or are influential came from our own backyard. And I think about KALW as being that. We are the blueprint to a lot of these institutions that are out here now. You might not get the credit for it, but they are. They definitely were watching what this institution is doing. So if you appreciate us and how we do things around here, and being the first ones to really bring shows like It's Been a Minute, programs like Snap Judgment, Kamal Right Now, those programs were produced right here at KALW, 800-525-9917 or at KALW.org. If you want to continue to enhance this institution financially, we would appreciate that very, very, very much. So go ahead, John.
Yeah, so it's funny that you mentioned that, because we just literally received a contribution from Valeria Sasensi in Berkeley, who said, "Real community engagement and relevant reporting and the music!" Exclamation point. Thank you for your creativity that produced Roman Mars, 99% Invisible, Snap Judgment, etc. So, yes, that is absolutely true. This is a unique station. I mean, we are a training ground. We are a place for creativity. We are a place for where people can try things and do things and innovate. And those things often find their way into more mainstream areas. Mm-hmm. They go, many of the folks that come into the Audio Academy, they learn how to do stuff, and now they're producing shows like Throughline, or they're going through,
Reveal,
or they're doing other things. And so they're working at MSNBC and other media outlets throughout the United States. And they're taking the ideas that we've instilled around community journalism, and what does it mean, and who's telling the story, and why are they telling the story, and what the context of around that is, and they're bringing it to there. So we are, in essence, affecting how other media organizations are doing their work. And we can only do this because of the flexibility that listener support provides us. So you are the backbone of all of this. And right now we're facing some funding challenges with the loss of Corporation for Public Broadcasting funds. So we need your help. Call us right now and make a donation, 1-800-525-9917, or go online to KALW.org and click donate. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. Barbara Dane was a woman and artist you couldn't put in a box. She sang folk, jazz, and blues. Dane, a white woman, performed with the likes of Louis Armstrong and the Chambers Brothers. She was passionate about social justice. She sang in Mississippi during the Civil Rights Movement and used her voice to oppose the Vietnam War. And when opportunities to go mainstream came, she chose to be independent. And that's just a very small snapshot of Miss Dane, who spent much of her life in the Bay Area. She died in Oakland in 2024 at the age of 97. The Nine Lives of Barbara Dane is a documentary about her Dane's life and music, and is screening on the evening of Thursday, August 14th at the Rialto Cinema Cerrito in El Cerrito. And here with more is the film's director, Maureen Gosling. Hello, Maureen.
Hi, Janae. So wonderful that you are having me on.
Yes. I'm glad to talk to you. And before we even dive into about Barbara Dane, I want to hold space for her daughter, Nina Menendez, who was the executive producer of this film. And you worked with her. And you told us right before the interview that she passed away yesterday. So I do want to hold space for her. And my condolences to you is, you know, nothing like losing a colleague, someone you work close with and create. So before we, you know, so this interview, we're going to honor both Barbara Dane and Nina Menendez. And Nina contributed definitely to the Bay Area arts community because she was into flamenco. But let's talk more about Nina Menendez, and especially how Barbara Dane inspired her too as well.
Well, yes, we have to give some tribute to Nina. She was kind of an amazing person. She was pretty tough. She kept going. She had terminal cancer for like 5 years, and she kept it going, and she kept it going for her mom, who passed away last October. And I think they were keeping each other alive. They were very close. And Nina worked to keep her mother's legacy alive and going. And for our film, The Nine Lives of Barbara Dane, Nina gave us total access to this incredible archive that Barbara had accumulated since she was a kid, really. I mean, she saved everything from little newspaper clippings to poems to scrapbooks, tapes, posters, articles, letters.
Wow.
She had letters from Langston Hughes and even Marcel Marceau and Ella Fitzgerald in her collection. And so Nina opened it up for us to access all these incredible photos and treasures that we were able to use in The Nine Lives of Barbara Dane. So she was totally instrumental in this film, and we give tribute to her and love to her family and all the Bay Area flamenco community that knows her and so forth. And so she's a big part of this film.
Yes, and she is in the film. So when you watch the film, you will see her. And so I didn't know about her health issues. So I was definitely surprised when you told me that she had passed away, because I was watching her on screen and learning about her. Yeah. But definitely appreciate her for continuing her mother's legacy. And this film would definitely continue her mother's legacy and Nina's legacy. I mean, the whole family, you know, they're talented and making their own legacies too in their own right. So Maureen, I didn't know about Barbara Dane, and I know you've heard that a lot. I do remember reading about her passing last year, so that was really the first time I learned of her. How did you first learn of Barbara?
Well, she was a good friend of my friend Chris Strachwitz, who was American Roots music record producer of Arhuli Records, mm-hmm. and he passed away 2 years ago. And I did a film about him with film partner Chris Simon called This Ain't No Mouse Music. And Barbara used to go to all of his parties. He would have these wonderful musical parties on 4th of July and Christmas, mm-hmm. and invite all of his extended musical family to show up, and Barbara would jam with people, and she always really stood out. And I knew she was somebody, but I didn't really know much about her until Nina needed somebody to do a video promo for Barbara's new CD that she that she came out with at the age of 89, that she did with incredible piano player Tammy Hall.
Yeah, shout out to Tammy Hall.
Yes, yes. And so as I was working on the video, I thought, oh my God, I didn't know, you know, she hung out with Louis Armstrong and Pete Seeger, and Bob Dylan looked up to her, and Bonnie Raitt knows who she is, and Jane Fonda, she worked with Jane Fonda. So I thought, well, maybe we should film her concert that she's giving as a CD release event at Yoshi's in Oakland. And so I corralled my friend and colleague, Jed Reif, who became a producer on the film, and we got a team together and filmed Barbara's concert at Yoshi's. And, you know, here she is at 89. We sort of figured this might be her last, you know, her last hurrah. Well, that was actually the beginning. That was the beginning of our film, and she ended up doing another 5 major concerts over the next 2 years in L.A. and Berkeley and New York and Havana. And we went to Cuba with her for 10 days, and she's actually very well known in Cuba because she was the first artist to break the embargo after the revolution.
Right,
the first artist in the U.S.
She was amazing. When you hear the things that she did and the people that, you know, she had ties to, what was your impression of her after you filmed her? I mean, we got an idea of kind of who she was, definitely from the documentary. But you were up there, you know, up close with her. What was your idea of her? Like, what did you take away?
I discovered that she was really a kindred spirit. I mean, she was funny. She was a character. She had incredible stories, and she was so committed politically that sometimes it, you know, sort of cut ties with some of her potential opportunities in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, she had an FBI file that was 5 inches thick.
Right, it was thick.
It followed her starting when she was 18, because she decided that communism at a young age was actually what was the best idea, because they were the only people that were fighting against racism, that fighting for the unions and so forth. And this was in the 40s, you know, which was before the McCarthy era, mm-hmm. before communism got such a bad name and all the other distortions happened in other, you know, in the other countries. But yeah, anyway, I just really appreciated her authenticity and her honesty. And she was full of surprises. She would just do unexpected things that made you smile. And I love that.
Yeah. Well, and Barbara Day, as you said, was very outspoken. And here's a clip of her talking about how the press described her back in the day.
Writers would call me a brassy blonde. I thought they meant that I was bleaching my hair, which I was, but they weren't. They meant personality-wise that I was brassy because I was opinionated in their way of looking at it. To have an opinion, like everyone has an opinion, to express an opinion for a woman in the 50s and 60s and 70s even, on down, was considered brassy, nervy, too much chutzpah, too much pushy, or, you know. So I was always very well aware of the struggles that women have had to express themselves in public. And things now are so different that it's hard to imagine how it was then.
Joe working man's wife. That's how I was defined. As if that was my life. My hope and my mind. But I worked in a bake shop. Did the housework at night. And there was no time to stop for a young bird in flight.
Bookers in Detroit. I was 18.
So the documentary is called The Nine Lives of Barbara Dane, and I'm thinking of the Chaka Khan song, I'm Every Woman, because she did so much, and she constantly evolved, even, you know, changing the genres of music, you know, that she sang. Is that where the film's title came from? Just how activist, artist?
Yeah, it's sort of... It felt like she was constantly reinventing herself. She would have a, you know, some sort of downfall that would happen, and she wouldn't stay there too long. She would kind of pick herself up, dust herself off, and like a cat with nine lives, you know, she just kept going and going and going. And you know, when she when she ended up being one of the only artists that went to Cuba for this incredible international music festival of protest singers from all over the world, she was mortified that the protest singers that were invited from this country didn't show up. Mm-hmm. She found, here she was potentially, you know, being blacklisted even more for going to Cuba again, but the doors opened for her. She got invited to different countries after that by the singer she met in Cuba. And then she ended up creating a record label of music that she recorded herself. Here she is in the 60s, a white woman, young woman, carrying around a Nagra tape recorder and recording the music that she was hearing. And she had all those tapes and decided, we got to put this out. Later on. So she just kept, suddenly she was a record producer. And
that's what I said. Yeah, she had a record label and she became an international artist, because after she performed in Cuba, she made connections with people around the world and they invited her to sing. She was singing at underground protests, you know, that were dangerous, you know, and she still took that risk and had that courage to go out there and fight for people. So something else that I've found interesting about her, Maureen, to me, Detroit and Oakland are like cousins when I think of the cities. And so it's not a surprise to me that she wound up in Oakland, because she's originally from Detroit. And the story about her father struck me, because he owned a drugstore and she was a little girl working in the store one day, and she had served a black man a Coca-Cola. He wanted to buy a Coca-Cola, and her father shamed her for doing that, and because he said that they were going to lose customers if black people started going to her to the family store. And that backfired what he did, because that plays such a huge role in her being an activist and having compassion for people. Do you know how her father felt about her activism? Because I remember there was a picture of her and her mother, but did she ever mention about her father and what he thought of what she did?
Well, it definitely affected her relationship with her father for quite a long time. She realized she couldn't live at her home anymore. I mean, she left home at the age of 15 and moved in with a girlfriend, and because the girlfriend was black and she couldn't, the girlfriend was afraid to go in the house of Barbara's house, and Barbara just thought that was horrible, and so she just didn't want to be in a place where she felt, you know, where her relationships were affected. And so, I think later in her life, she had some regrets about her dad. In fact, she has this incredible book that was one of the things that Nina Menendez encouraged and succeeded in getting the publishing mm-hmm. of a book, Barbara's autobiography, called This Bell Still Rings, My Life of Defiance and Song. And these stories are in there in detail, and it's a very fun read. It's quite wonderful. It's a real great companion piece to the film. It's on Heyday Books. And you get more details about that story and about the relationship with her dad and in her later years and so forth.
Yeah, and we have 45 seconds, so we don't have much time, because there's so much to talk about. I really encourage people to see the film, because I wanted to talk to you about all the other things she did. She ran a nightclub in San Francisco called Sugar Hill, and it was a blues nightclub, one of the few or only white-run blues nightclubs, and big people like Big Mama Thornton came, and she did so much. We have about 20 seconds left. Any final thoughts you want to share on Barbara Dane or her daughter Nina Menendez?
Well, they were extremely close, and they both were fighters for social justice and love and peace. And I think both of their spirits resonate and will continue to resonate. And we're very fortunate that we were able to do this film and can help preserve their legacies.
Maureen Gosling, thank you for making this film. Playing a role in contributing to their legacy. And again, my condolences to you and everyone who appreciated and loved Nina Menendez. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. And KLW, and go KLW.
Yes.
Hey, donate, donate, donate.
Yes. All right. Y'all listen to Maureen. Maureen Gosling is the director of the documentary The Nine Lives of Barbara Dane. It is screening at Rialto Cinema Cerrito in El Cerrito on August 14th, and you do not want to miss it. Definitely catch that film.
Can I say one quick thing?
Real quick.
We have a live music at the... come early to hear Rhonda Benin, jazz and blues singer from the Bay Area. She will entertain.
Oh, great artist. Yes. Okay, y'all, catch that. Thank you, Maureen. All right. That's all the time we have for the Sights and Sounds Show with Janae Darden. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Rangel, our board operator, Damian Miner, and our director of audio programming, David Boyer. And thank you for tuning in. The San Francisco Opera is selling $10 tickets to Bay Area residents for their upcoming season, so you definitely want to jump on that. Make sure to go on their website for more information. And I just want to say real quick that I know it feels like we're living in some kind of dystopian movie or novel. You know, this past weekend, I caught myself doom scrolling and I had to put my phone down, and I picked up The Emperor of Gladness by Ocean Vuong, and I read that, and then I watched the new animated series Eyes of Wakanda, and I felt so much better. Both works took my mind off of the daily chaos and reminded me about the power of people coming together to overcome challenges, and now is the time for us
to come together. The arts and journalism are critical during times like these. Critical. Those who study history know what I'm talking about. But we get to do both here. We get to do both journalism and arts here on our Sights and Sounds shows. So please help us to continue to bring your uplifting and informative programmings that shine the spotlight on Bay Area artists. So go to klw.org/donate or call 800-525-9917. And I want to briefly bring in John Carroll to close out the show with me.
Hey, Janae. Yes. So I also want to thank Wendell Chu from San Francisco, who wrote, "It's time to stick together. The community should support you." So the importance of community to support KLW and the work that we do here is paramount. It's important. Take this opportunity right now. If you've not been a donor to KLW, join us right now. 1-800-525-9917 is the number you can call, or go online to kalw.org and click donate. You're listening to KLW San Francisco Bay Area here at 91.7. We can't do what we do without you. It's your donation that makes it all possible. So call us, make that donation, 1-800-525-9917, or go online to kalw.org and click donate. And thanks so much.
All right. Until next week, be good to yourselves and each other.